Are you tired of worrying? Are you frustrated that you can't feel peace in your life? Stick around because we will discuss it on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Here we go. All right, welcome to the program. How are you today? My name is Gary Zimak, and it's great to be back here with you on Blog Talk Radio. I got an email today from someone who, you know, I can so relate to this message. And basically, the person in the email said that they were struggling with some worries in their life, specifically some medical tests. And as someone who is a hypochondriac by nature, I can relate to this. How do you possibly get your mind off of your worries, off of your medical tests, off of your job situation, your financial difficulties, your strained relationship with your spouse, your fear of the future, your fear of not being able to perform adequately on your job, whatever it is? How do you possibly experience peace? And what I realized was that I don't talk about overcoming anxiety on this show a lot, even though it's the main thing that I really talk about. I talk about growing close to Jesus when I go out and speak across the country and when I write and when I do radio and TV, but I don't always key in on the anxiety. But really, that's the bulk of the work that I do. I reach out to those who are anxious and help them to overcome that anxiety by having a relationship with Jesus. That's really my ministry, what I do. I don't necessarily talk about it every day on this program, but I am known as the worry guy. I mean, you Google Catholic speaker anxiety, my name comes up over and over again. So I felt the Holy Spirit leading me, and I've learned to listen to the Holy Spirit leading me to talk about it on this show. How do we deal with it? I'm worried. What do I do, Gary? I'm going to give you some steps today. We are going to read scripture. I'll touch on today's gospel, but because it's a really, really powerful one, it's one I don't want to skip. But I want to also highlight a few other verses. I just want you, and don't feel you need to memorize all of these, I just want you to listen and try to get an idea of how you can deal with this. If you like this type of a show, let me know. We'll do more of them. Thursday is a little bit of an open theme on my radio show, so if maybe we'll do this on Thursday. You let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. You let me know if you think this is a good idea, if you need more of this. Because I think it's a huge problem in the world today. Anxiety is something that really drives a wedge between us and our Lord, doesn't it? Because when we begin to worry, we move away from Him. There's no way you can be worrying and growing closer to the Lord. It just doesn't happen. You could be afraid and stay close to Him. But once you start worrying, then you're letting your mind run wild about potential negative situations that can occur. You know, worry is extremely different than anxiety. And when you begin to do that, you don't place your trust in the Lord, and you're headed in a different direction, and not in a good direction. Now, I don't say that to make you feel bad. I don't want to make you worry anymore, but it's a fact. How can a guy like me, who is anxious by nature, who has struggled with the what-if syndrome? Well, what if my wife gets sick? What if I lose my job? What if something happens to my children? I worry about them. How do I find peace in my life? And I'll tell you what, I do have peace. But with the help of Jesus Christ, I do it one day at a time. And I am not kidding about that. That's never going to change. I view anxiety similar to the way I view diabetes. You can control it, but you can't cure it. That's okay, because I get a lot of letters from people who, as they start to grow closer to Jesus, start to feel a lot more peace in their life. They say, wow, this is great. Doesn't matter. You might still be an anxious person by nature, but you can still experience peace every day. The way to do it is with a certain set of steps. And I'm going to talk about those steps today, and I really want to focus on Scripture. I want to explain a couple of concepts, and I don't have anything worked out. I'm letting the Holy Spirit, He gave me this idea, I'm going to let Him deliver today, because I'm really depending on Him. But I want you to know something. There is hope. if you feel that you will never be able to stop worrying, that's not true, because I don't want to say I never worry, but I worry very infrequently right now, and I've learned to recognize what to do when the symptoms come on and what I can do to correct the problem. There are times, and in case you're not familiar with me and the work that I do, I'll say this: I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a therapist, I am not a medical professional in any way. I'm a guy that is prone to worrying. That's me. And I'm a guy who has a great love for Christ and his church and likes to talk about Jesus every day, either on this show, on other shows, when I go out and speak. That's who I am. But I've dealt with a lot of Catholic therapists and psychologists. They know what I'm talking about. They've heard my material, and I've never gotten a bad review. Everybody has said you are exactly right on the money, but the thing that I always have to mention is there are some times when Jesus will heal your anxiety through therapy and or medication. If the steps that I'm giving you, if you read my book From Fear to Faith, which really details a lot of these steps in much more detail than I'm going to go into here, if you still don't feel peaceful, if you still can't stop worrying, you might need to get more help. Please don't do that. Please don't hesitate to do that. There's nothing wrong with getting professional help when it comes to anxiety. Many times, anxiety is a biological condition. It's something you can't control. You can minimize it with the help of the Lord, but if you still have a certain chemical imbalance that's causing you to worry excessively, you might need to get a little treatment. Then I recommend you still follow all the steps that I'm giving you, because if you stop worrying and you don't get any closer to Jesus, you might as well forget getting to heaven. So my goal here with my life, with my ministry, is to help you get to heaven. I want you to stop worrying, but more importantly, I want you to get to heaven, because a lot of people who don't worry should worry. They should worry because they have no relationship with the Lord, and that's big problems. That's a big problem. That's not a good thing. So I wanted to say that. So that being said, I think this is going to be a good show. Of course I do. It's my show. Right? It would be pathetic if I didn't. But I want to talk about that today. So that's where we're going on the program today. Thank you for listening. We do this show every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. We're now on TuneIn Radio and iTunes as well, so you can get the podcast free of charge. And I want to thank you for making that possible. Your donations, your purchases of Mystic Monk Coffee from my website, you're using the Amazon link on my website to buy your products from Amazon. This is the way that you're helping keeping my ministry going, and you're helping keeping this show free of charge. Please visit followingthetruth.com and go to the donate page if you would like to. If you believe in my work, if you think I've helped you and you would like to see it continue, I try to be really transparent here, and I hope you understand that being a full-time Catholic evangelist and supporting a family this way, it's different than when I worked as a software developer, I'll say. For 4.5 years now, this is the way I've done it. I am at an all-time low when it comes to finances right now. Totally honest. That's a totally honest assessment of where I stand. But I obviously believe in my work. I believe in the message, the good news of Jesus Christ, and I want to keep doing it. But I need to turn to you to ask you to help me. You can do that by visiting followingthetruth.com and donating, becoming a monthly sponsor, making a one-time donation, using the Amazon link. If you buy things from Amazon, if you use the link on my website, anytime you use that link, you go into Amazon, I get a profit on anything you buy. And if you're a coffee lover, you've got to check out Mystic Monk Coffee. You can also invite me to speak at your parish. You can purchase my books. All that can be done at the website. The bottom line is I need your help to continue. That's why I like to mention it on the show. You're a listener. You obviously care. So thank you in advance for that. Here's what we're going to do now. We're going to pray. Now, if you're anxious, I want you to remember something. You're in the presence of Almighty God. You are in the presence of your Heavenly Father. He's there. He's there with you right now. You're in the presence of Jesus Christ, His Son, your brother. You're in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and here's an even better deal. If you've been baptized, you have received the Holy Spirit. He's dwelling in your soul. If you've been confirmed, you have had a strengthening of the Holy Spirit and his gifts. So you got a lot going for you right now. That Holy Spirit, your friend, your best friend, who you probably don't know very well because the Holy Spirit is mysterious to so many people, he's in your soul right now. He's with you. You're in good shape. You are never alone. No matter where you go, no matter what you feel like, it doesn't matter. You're not alone. You have somebody with you who can help with any of your problems, who is bigger than any of your problems, who can solve any of your problems, and who can give you peace and wants you to be peaceful. Read 1 Corinthians 7:32 if you have any doubts. Remember, this is the inspired word of God. The Bible is the inspired word of God. So anything in the Bible is a message from God to you. 1 Corinthians 7:32 says, I want you to be free from anxieties. Okay? If the Lord willed for St. Paul to write those words, obviously it's possible. He wants it. He doesn't want you to be worried. He wants you to be at peace. So let's keep that in mind and feel good about the fact that if he wants us to be free from anxiety, then it must be possible. But it's only possible with his help. So let's talk to our Heavenly Father right now. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help me to know what to say and to help you to be able to be receptive to the message. Sound like a deal? All right, here we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you, Father, for your presence in our life. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you sent your Son Jesus to become one of us, to suffer, to die, and to rise from the dead so that we could one day live with you in heaven. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us. The Holy Spirit is with us, guiding us, helping us to know what to do in any situation, helping us know what would please you, and consoling us and strengthening us along the way. So we thank you for the gift of this day, of your Son, of your presence, Father, of the Holy Spirit. We ask you to help all of our brothers and sisters who may be anxious today, and help us if we're anxious. We need help. We can't do this on our own. Father, we ask for that help. We ask for you to help anybody who is struggling with an illness, anyone who is feeling doubtful, anybody experiencing despair, anybody who might be dealing with financial difficulties, battling addiction, dealing with religious persecution, or some sort of an extreme weather situation. We ask, Father, that you accept all of our own intentions. We all have needs. We all have fears. We all have things that are just eating at us. We're going to give them to you right now because we know that you can do a much better job with them than we can. You're all powerful. You can do all things. We believe that. But we struggle sometimes. So we're going to give you our intentions. We're going to ask you to help us to have greater faith in you. Please increase our faith, Father. I thank you for letting me be here. I thank you for letting me do this show. And I'm going to give it to you right now, Father in heaven. This is your program. I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to speak through me today. You've got a message that you want us to hear. I'm willing to deliver that message. Please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message. And we ask for these things, all of these things, in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And I think I forgot to say, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I don't want to leave the Holy Spirit out. We want to now turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and ask for her prayers as we begin praying the familiar words, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, thanks so much for praying with me. You know, how do I deal with it? How do I deal with my tendency to be anxious. I've got a problem. I've got a stack of bills. I've got a test. I had to have an ultrasound of my kidneys last week, and right away they were doing an ultrasound to see if I had kidney stones, because I have had one in the past. But right away my mind starts to kick into high gear, and I start thinking, well, what if it's not just a kidney stone? What if I have some sort of a tumor growing on my kidney? What if it's cancer? And then, you know, this is the way my mind starts to work. Now, what I've learned to do with the help of the Lord, and some of this is me. Some of this is me having to put the brakes on and say, whoa, wait a minute. This is not right. I'm into that what if mentality again. I'm starting to conjure up things that might happen. And I could easily let this escalate. And before you know it, I'm completely freaked out about things that may never happen. I've learned to stop when I begin to do this. How do I deal with problems like this? How do I deal with the financial issues that I face each day? How do I deal with worrying about my family? Because that's another tendency that I have. I worry about my wife and my kids. Most of us who are anxious, we like to control things. I like to control my environment. I like to control everything that happens to me. Well, one of the big frustrations comes in when we can't control something. As an anxious person, if I can't control something, I start to panic because I want to control it. That's where the anxiety sets in. I want to control the uncontrollable. So much of life is completely out of my control. And you know, it's funny, even the things that are in my control really aren't, but we fool ourselves. And as worriers, as people who struggle with anxiety, I think we're blessed in a lot of ways, because we have a tendency to, we have a tendency to seek help. And one of the best ways we often seek help is through prayers, through the Lord. So if somebody's not anxious, oftentimes they never seek the Lord out, because they think everything is under control. When I used to have, and I was lukewarm for many years, even though I'm anxious, I would have my moments where I would pray. I briefly got involved in the late 70s in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Movement. It did such wonders for me, even though as an introverted person by nature, it was tough for me to, I mean, they were over the top in love with the Lord, the people who went to these meetings, and really letting the Holy Spirit work through them. That wasn't easy for me, but I liked the idea that they believed that they definitely had a personal relationship with Jesus. They knew him personally, and they believed that he could work miracles in their lives. And as somebody who is anxious and who is struggling for peace, and I wanted peace badly, that was really attractive to me. So that was very helpful to me. It helped me realize that, yeah, I can have a personal relationship with Jesus, and I can use that relationship to feel peace in my life, or to experience peace. Because sometimes you don't necessarily feel peace, but you are at peace. So there is a difference. There is a difference. And that's one of the points my spiritual director made to me, and I was very grateful for that. So how do I deal with it? Well, day to day, and this is because I'm anxious, I am blessed to be able to realize that there's an emptiness in me. There's something in me that's missing, and I am very aware of the need for a relationship with the Lord. And that my anxiety has led me to the Lord. And once I got to know him better, and it started out with a desire to get to know Jesus better, once I started to know Jesus better, I began to love him, right? Because that's what's going to happen. If you get to know Jesus, you will love him, I promise you. Because as you know him better and better, you'll realize how much he loves you. And the response to that love is going to be love on your part. Take it one day at a time. It's going to happen. Just pursue Jesus. Tell him you want to get to know him. And read scripture. Go to Mass as often as possible. Daily Mass is invaluable. Spend time in Eucharistic adoration. And I have a book, my latest book. I'm not plugging my book right now, but a lot of these things I've gone into in great detail. Find a Real Friend to Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. That book is all about my quest to get to know Jesus. As you get to know Jesus better, he's going to draw you deeper into a relationship with your Heavenly Father, with his Father and your Father. And then also, he's going to draw you into a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit. So friendship with Jesus will lead to a closer friendship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. That is something that I'm going to be talking about soon. I'm not sure how, but I need to get that message out there because it's something I'm going through right now. And it is a really cool revelation to be able to enter into this relationship with the Lord. So what I do each day is I go to daily Mass. Again, I understand not everybody can do that. If you can do it, it's going to change your life if you do it. It's going to change your life. That reception of the Eucharist, just being at Mass, participating in Holy Mass each day, in and of itself, there's lots of graces there. But when you receive the Eucharist, you're going to get the graces given to you by that intimate encounter with Jesus. And that's not something you have to even conceptualize. It's just something you got to do. The graces will be there. So that's something I do every day. I pray every day. I start out each day with prayer. I pray the Liturgy of the Hours, which is the official prayer of the church. You don't necessarily need to pray that. But what I would recommend is that you get either a magazine such as the Magnificat or the Word Among Us or a Missal, or get them online. Read the daily Mass readings. Or I recommend you do that in the morning. You can hang out with me. We're going to read them on the show too. But I recommend that you either... You could listen to the podcast in the morning. You'll be a day behind, though, because I do these at night. But I recommend that you start with the daily Mass readings. Let the Word of God be the first thing that you read in the morning. And let that Word of God that you read lead to a conversation with Him. Talk to Him. Start out by talking to Jesus. Say, Jesus, thank you for giving me another day. Please help me not worry today. Please be with me. Reveal yourself to me. Help remind me of your presence. Please let me know what you would like me to do for you today, Lord. You know, that's something we often forget to say. And then give him your worries. Give him your needs. Give him everything that's on your mind. And tell him. Also tell him you're struggling to trust him. It's one of the things that I never wanted to say, but it's something he knows, right? He knows all things. So have that conversation in the morning with Jesus. Have that conversation with your breakfast. Me and the Lord have breakfast every day together. I was journaling for a long time, writing him a letter each morning. I've moved away from that. I might go back to it because now my prayer is driven by the Liturgy of the Hours. I pray, which is mostly Scripture. I pray the Liturgy of the Hours. I talk to Jesus. I talk to the Father. I talk to the Holy Spirit in the morning. And I'm not writing as much, but we're having that conversation. Then I go to Mass, pray on the way. You know, you can pray in the car. You can pray as you take a walk. Your prayers can be simple. Jesus gives us a great way to pray in today's gospel. We'll cover it before the end of the show. Your prayer can be simple. I love you, Lord. Please help me. Help me to discover your presence throughout the day today. I'm a worrier, Lord. Help me stop worrying. So another thing that I do besides Mass and prayer is reading Scripture. In addition to the daily Mass readings, I like to read the Bible. I'm pretty familiar. The Gospels are a great place to start because when you're having this encounter with Jesus, okay, so you're worried about a medical test, you're worried about some problem in your life, open your Bible and read stories of Jesus encountering people. Read stories of him healing people. Read how he rose from the dead. Read how he raised Lazarus from the dead. Read how he raised the daughter of Jairus up from the dead. And as you begin to read these stories, you're going to be encountering the Lord. The Bible is not an ordinary book. The Bible is a dynamic document. And you can have a conversation with the Lord. Let me just give you some examples and explain it. So this is one of the ways that I deal with my tendency to be anxious. And what better way to start than looking at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. The words of Jesus. Now remember, he's speaking these words to you. You're anxious, open this up, highlight it in your Bible, and let these words sink in. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now, right there, you're going to say possibly, well, if you got money problems. Gary, that's great. Life is more than food and clothing. I get it, but I don't have money to buy food this month. Now, if you let this play out a little bit, Jesus is saying life is more than food and clothing. He's not saying you don't need food and clothing. And in fact, he talks about, a few verses later, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So right there, Jesus is telling you, of course you need material things. Of course you need them. Now remember, you may have opened this being completely stressed about financial problems or something of that nature. But Jesus goes on to say, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. So what this passage might do, and it might hit you a different way, but this is the way it hits me, is that it might remind you that, all right, I have other needs besides what is really causing me to worry. I'm worried about my finances. I'm worried about being able to earn enough money to support my family. I'm worried about being out on the street, whatever it is. But Jesus reminds you that life is more than that. It's important, but life is more than that. Because honestly, in a matter of a relatively short period of time, this life's going to be over. And I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm just trying to be a realist. But you have the ability. Your soul will live forever. You want to make sure that you end up in heaven. Well, Jesus Christ, by virtue of what he did on the cross, allowed the gates of heaven to be open. He opened the gates of heaven. So now, he took care of your greatest need. That is something you could not have handled on your own. If he took care of that one, why do you think he won't take care of your other needs? In fact, he's saying it. But you need to read these words over and over and get lost in this dialogue here. Because when you do that, you're going to forget about your problems because you're having an encounter with Jesus. Do you see what I mean? You got to try this. You can't read this and talk to Jesus and worry at the same time. It can't be done. Your mind can't be worrying as you're reading and or talking to Jesus. You might go back and forth a little bit, but the more you read Scripture, the less you will have time to worry. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Okay, Lord, I have needs. Here they are. Lord, I need to stop worrying. Can you help me? What did he just say? Ask and you will receive. Either he's a liar or he's going to come through. I don't know how he's going to answer it. I don't know when, but I know that he will answer your prayer. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks will it be opened. Or what man of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Well, what about our Heavenly Father when we're asking him for things? Well, Jesus goes on to say, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who will ask him? Your Heavenly Father loves you. And this is where this passage can lead. He loves you enough to care about the problems that are concerning you, whatever they may be. He cares about your problems. He loves you enough to provide for your needs. But you're going to have to ask for these needs. You're going to have to ask him, Father, what can I do? What can I do to help myself? Is there anything I can do? And that's a question you need to ask yourself. I'm worried about something. Is there anything I can do? Am I worried about losing my job? My company's not doing well. Well, update your resume, look for another job, and pray. There are things you can do. You see that? And then the Lord is going to do his job. What that is, we don't know. That's up to him. But one thing for sure, he wants you to be peaceful. And the more you lean on him, the more you concentrate on what he can do in your life, and the more you ask him to help you, the more peace you're going to feel. I can't stop worrying. I tried it for years. You Google on the internet how to stop worrying, you get all kinds of solutions. Well, I'm an anxious person. I can't stop worrying. But what I can do is turn to Jesus every day and walk each day with him. And by doing that, I gradually begin to feel more peaceful. That's what we need to work on. When we look throughout the Gospels, we see evidence of Jesus performing miracles. We think, and here's another message, Matthew, I'm flipping through my Bible, Matthew 11:28, a message to you from Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you need rest tonight? Well, you need to follow Jesus, because that's the promise. Will it happen immediately? No. You're not going to just one day say a prayer to Jesus and never worry for the rest of your life. And be thankful for that, because that tendency to be anxious is going to keep you close to him. But you will spend, eventually, most of your life being peaceful if you continue to walk with him each day. A man with a withered hand. Matthew 12, verse 9. A man with a withered hand comes to Jesus. And the man enters the synagogue, and Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretched it out, and it was restored whole like the other. Just like that. And if we go through other stories, we're going to see many times when the Lord comes through in miraculous ways. I got news for you. You keep reading stories like this, your faith is going to grow, because you're going to realize that your friend Jesus can heal you of all your problems, whatever they may be. He's bigger than your problems. And even if he doesn't take them away, there's no guarantee he will, he can grant you the peace to deal with them. Now, I'm out of time, but I'm going to keep going. This is my show. I've got the flexibility to do this. We're going to go for a few more minutes, because I really want to cover a few more things. So hang with me as we go through these some more scripture passages. The Canaanite woman's faith. I love this story. This is Matthew 15, verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and cried, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon." Okay, that's a pretty frantic cry from this woman, this Canaanite woman, going to Jesus asking for help. Now, you would expect that Jesus would say, "Oh, sure, I'd be happy to help your daughter." Listen to what happened. And this is such a great story, because you're going to learn something really powerful from this. She told Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. In other words, he didn't say anything. You ever been in that position where you ask the Lord for something, you don't hear anything back? That's exactly what happened here. Now, do you stop praying at that point? Do you go away? Are you frustrated? Are you crying? Are you devastated? This woman was not. She kept going. There's a lesson here. And the disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying after us." So the disciples are saying, get rid of this woman, because she's crying after us. I like to kid around when I read this and say, crying after us? She's not crying after us. She's crying after Jesus. These guys, they're thinking like, oh, this woman's following after us. No, she's crying after Jesus. Now, what happened after this? He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Man, talk about a rebuke. This woman is down, and Jesus is kicking her when she's down? What happens? And see, this is confusing, but there's a reason Jesus is doing what he is doing. He's testing her faith. And sometimes when he doesn't answer us right away, that's exactly what's happening. He's testing our faith. But she came and knelt before him. She knelt before him. So in other words, her prayer was intensifying, and she was totally being respectful here, kneeling before him, saying, "Lord, help me." There you go. There's the prayer that you pray when you're facing a desperate situation in your life. Lord, help me. Three words. Amazing power to those three words. What happens now? Jesus answered her. Well, at least he's answering her now, right? "It is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Oh, man. Ouch. Wouldn't you stop at this point feeling really defeated? That's not what happened here. And incidentally, the Greek word that's used for dogs means little dogs or puppies. This is an affectionate term that Jesus is using. Sometimes when you look at the English, it loses something. But that he's using a bit of an affectionate term, but he's still testing this woman's faith. What happens now? She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She didn't give up. She kept asking. She believed that Jesus Christ could heal her daughter. He could fix the problem. What happened? Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. What would have happened if she quit when he didn't answer her? When he appeared to not want to help her? When he came back and said, "It's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Each time she kept on persisting. You need to do that. But you see what happens. More important, I mean, the message is great. You just heard the Lord speak to you through this gospel passage. But the other thing to remember is when you're watching this unfold, when you're drawn into this encounter and the Lord's speaking to you through the pages of the Bible, you're not worrying. And as you read these miraculous healings that Jesus performs, and there are a lot of them in the four Gospels, you're going to feel more confident in his ability to take care of your problems. You need to be reading the Bible every day. And eventually, start slow. That's why I say the daily mass readings are a great place to start. Eventually, you are going to find a lot of comfort in the pages of the Bible. If you have an adoration chapel where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, go sit with Jesus. I do that many times. Go, if your church is open, if it's not open during the day, maybe you can sit before Mass, after Mass, sit in the presence of Jesus. What do you say? You don't have to say anything. If you got things on your mind, tell him what you're thinking. But you could just sit there in his presence. Let him hold your hand spiritually, right? And you're going to start to feel differently. You're going to start to feel differently. St. Paul has some great advice in his letter to the Philippians. And if you're an anxious person, you need to remember this passage. This is Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. This is what St. Paul says. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance." In other words, let all men know your, let all them see your patient endurance, your self-control. "Why should we rejoice? The Lord is at hand." That's what Paul says. So this is the message that I tried to make earlier in the program, that the Lord's with you. He's with you right now. And if you go to a church, you're going to have the real presence of Jesus Christ. Right now, wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this, you've got a spiritual presence, but it can even get better. You can be in his real presence. And I'm telling you, you need to do that if you're stressed. Paul goes on to say this, "Have no anxiety about anything." Boy, there's that message again. Have no anxiety about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So in other words, you go to him, you say, "Lord, here's what I got. I'm worried about my health, worried about my finances, worried about my family, worried that I'll never be able to stop sinning. I'm worried that I won't get to heaven. Whatever your worry is, you give it to the Lord. And remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. We just read it. Ask and you shall receive. Okay? "I asked, therefore I'll receive." Do I know when? Do I know how? Nope. But I know I'll get something. "Therefore, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer." That's what Paul says. "Let your requests be made known with thanksgiving." Okay, so you can thank him. He's going to answer you. And what happens then? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Tell you what, that's a powerful passage, isn't it? Now, I hope some of these Bible verses helped you today. I do want to do today's gospel. We're going to go with about a 45-minute program today, so I have 5 minutes left. I want to read the gospel because Jesus tells you specifically how to pray. This is the gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Now remember that. We talked about that earlier in the show. Your Father in heaven knows what you need, but he knows more than you think. Your material needs are your greatest needs. They're not. They might seem like it, but your life after this life on earth is going to be a lot longer than the time you spend on this planet. So I got news for you. Your material needs are not your greatest needs. So you have many other needs. Your Heavenly Father knows those needs. Does that mean you shouldn't ask for them? No. He wants you to ask for them. Why? I don't agree with that. Doesn't matter. He makes the rules. He wants you to be dependent on him. A lot of times I'll hear people say, "Well, that's not fair. He knows what I need, but I still have to ask." Yeah, that's the way he wants it. That Jesus said this, "This is how you are to pray." You all know these words. Jesus is telling you, this is how you are to pray. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Jesus went on to say, "If you forgive others their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your transgressions." That's how you are to pray. The problem with many of us and the Lord's Prayer is that we know it so well, we become, as Mother Angelica used to say, a what's nexter. A what's nexter looks at a prayer like this, a Bible passage, and says, "Yeah, I know that. What's next?" In other words, "Yeah, I've heard that so many times." Slow it down. Slow it down and really, really, really pay attention to these words. Pay attention to these words when Jesus is teaching us how to pray. And pray them slowly. And the words are so powerful to that prayer. And Jesus also emphasized, we better make sure we forgive other people too. So you want to be careful about that too. But this is the way, one of the best ways that you can hear the Lord speak directly to you. And again, start with the Gospels. The Gospels are a great place to start. You don't have to understand everything about every one of these Bible passages. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand the message that he wants you to understand. And I recommend you take a good Bible study if you might have one at your parish. There are some good Bibles that have great commentary. They're not all good, but there are some very good ones. And I have recommendations if you want to know any of them. There are some good Bibles that have commentary. So you learn more about what some of these passages really mean. And then that's going to help you to allow the Lord to speak to you more directly through these Bible passages. So in other words, it's a good thing to learn the background of some of these stories, but you don't have to be a biblical scholar to understand God's word through the pages of the Bible. Okay? I hope you enjoyed this show tonight. Let me know if we should do more like this. Send me an email at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Here's what else I want you to know. I'm praying for you. If I can stop worrying with the help of our Lord, you can too. Turn to him every day. Ask for his help. And make sure each day you're reading sacred scripture. You're going to Mass if at all possible. You're spending time in his presence. And you're praying. You're going to see a change. It might not be overnight, but you will see a change. And as Jesus said in John 14:1, I'm going to close with this, let not your hearts be troubled. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. God willing, I'm going to be back here tomorrow night. I hope you can join me. See ya.